So what a wonderful month this has been. I have definitely approached the month of June as more of a marathon than a sprint, for sure. But I'm excited to be in here with you today to share what our C3 kids and our C3 youth have been learning this month. And also, we're excited to have this family service. You may have noticed our youth have been involved in a variety of ministries this morning, from greeters and communion to worship and announcements. We have enjoyed having them help us this morning. And then some of our older VBS kids came and led our opening song, and that was one of our Vacation Bible School songs. So first, I would like to share with you what we learned this past week at Vacation Bible School. We were detectives on the case, and we had three mysteries to solve. They were, how do we grow, how do we serve, and how do we care? And as Jamie already mentioned, through the amazing teaching of Detective Sassafras, our very own Nan May, in her detective office, which we left up to share with you and show this morning, they learned a different parable every day. And through day one, they learned in the parable that we grow by spending time with God. And day two, they learned that we can use our gifts that God's given us to serve others. And then on day three, they learned that we care by spending time with others. And I just want to take a moment to talk, or to just thank everyone that helped with VBS. If you were here and you helped, I'm going to ask, will you stand? High school helpers, adults, everybody. And just please thank you all so much. So it's definitely a week of fun and laughs, and it's always fun to see the kids and the adults having fun. We had an amazing group of volunteers. They're all not here today, but they ensure the week's success. We need each one for sure. And every year, I'm always so grateful for everyone that steps up and is involved. But I will say this year was the first time in 9 years that I had all the volunteers I needed without having to chase or beg anybody. That was a success for me even before VBS started. So earlier this month, our C3 youth camp, and it was a time for our youth to get away and have fun together and also learn ways that they can grow closer to God. And it was pretty neat during the week to see them all grow closer together as well. I had an amazing team of leaders that braved camp with me, and I will ask them to stand as well. Josh Coates, Ellen Roberts, and my husband Jared Wiley. We'll give them a... They all helped to make sure that camp was possible. We had a great time as well as the kids, I believe, without too many bumps along the way. Josh may have gotten run off the road a little bit by a semi. His car didn't even notice, apparently, though. And Ellen and I had a few ailments, but we made it through the week, and we had a lot of fun. So today, we are going to talk about the curriculum we used at youth camp, and it is titled Seeking God Together. And some of the points that we'll make will fall under the three topics of God within us, God beside us, and God above us. We sang earlier, Emmanuel, God with us, and that's perfect because these are the different ways that God is with us. And we'll talk about four spiritual practices that fall under each of these. So our first spiritual practice we'll cover today is God within us. And this one is making room. Making room to listen to the Holy Spirit and to focus our minds on God. Oftentimes our schedules are so busy, and it's important for us to make time, not only in our schedule, but even room in our physical environment to get away and alone to focus our minds on God. It's a time of quiet and reflection and listening for the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26 says, "And in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weaknesses. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray or know the best things to ask for. But the Holy Spirit rises up in us to intercede on our behalf." So listening to the Holy Spirit for some can seem kind of elusive or prove hard to be done, but I want to share a few ways with you today that might work for you or your personality. So some people, the Spirit speaks kind of to their spirit. It's more of a knowing, or maybe an idea or a thought they get, or maybe a dream that they have. Some people, it's through Scripture. Maybe during their daily devotional and Bible reading time, there's something that really sticks out to them and stays with them that week. Others, maybe it might be through circumstances that you are experiencing, or others in your life maybe say something that really speak to you. And then another one, a new kind of new one that I wanted to talk about today, is even through movement. So when Josh led this lesson with us at camp, he had us all do a few breathing and stretching techniques as we did the lesson, and really just talked about the time to quiet your mind and rest and listen. And this could be maybe you like to go on a walk, or maybe you're a runner. And I know there have been times that I've been on a run and come back with many thoughts that I feel like the Spirit really wanted me to hold on to or implement that week. So it's helpful for us to make time to focus our mind on God and the Holy Spirit, but it's also about our heart. This can happen anytime throughout our day. It's our posture to our daily life. So we can hear the Spirit anytime. It's as, are we listening? And so the next two spiritual practices we'll talk about today fall under God beside us. So the second one is welcoming all. And this practice aligns with the day three of VBS. I never intend for this to happen, but it's always amazing to see how God does this. Our VBS days aligned right with our youth curriculum. Maybe not in the same order, but it was just perfect. And so welcoming all, also known as hospitality, or spending time with others, is how we care, for the more simple version for the kids. We see examples of Jesus doing this all throughout the Gospels, but a time that we looked at in our lesson was in Luke 14:12. Jesus is telling the story, the parable of the great banquet. He was at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, and he was instructing them on the importance of welcoming everyone. So the verse says, "He said also to the man who had invited him, 'When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or just your brothers and sisters and relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you.'" So in this parable, Jesus is teaching that all are welcomed at God's table. Social status, wealth, and power, they don't matter here. Come as you are. This is God's table, where the ignored or excluded, the poor, everyone receives the extravagant and warm love of God. He then closes the story by restating that not everyone is interested in this type of community. Sometimes it's hard for some. It's hard to embrace the world where the first is last, or the least are the greatest, especially if we've been living in a position of privilege. But for us in our daily life, too often our schedules are so filled, we're so busy, and we don't always have the margin to even be aware of those around us who we may need to include or think of. Too often we stay in our same groups, and I pray that we are more mindful to look around us and see those that may want to be included or joined in a thing you're hosting or an event we're having here. And our third spiritual practice is serving, and we can find joy in serving others. So this practice aligns with our day two of VBS, of using our gifts to serve others. So we can use our gifts to serve others, and we see that example in the chapter 9 of Acts with Tabitha. Our group had not heard of Tabitha. Have any of you heard of Tabitha? Also known as Dorcas. They really enjoyed that alternative name. I don't know why. So in Acts 9, Tabitha was a leader in the church community in Acts, and it was in the city of Joppa. She was not only a disciple, but a skilled tailor. She would use her gifts of sewing clothes and then sell them to the community and use the funds to help support their church community. her role was so critical to the church that when she falls ill and dies, they send two men to go find Peter. They cannot lose this woman. They love her so much. And so Peter comes and performs the miracle of raising her back to life. And both Tabitha and Peter, they show us examples of using our gifts to serve others. What gifts have you been blessed with that you could use to serve those around you? Oftentimes, we don't even realize sometimes what our gifts are. Artie's really great to remind me of this. The things that we find easy or simple, like why can't everyone just do that? Maybe that's your gift. And maybe the person beside you would be really hard for them, or they just would not have fun doing it. We could all teach like all the kids, all the ages, right? Like Nan. So in doing this, in finding our ways of our gifts that we can serve others, we also see and you find the joy in doing that. Excuse me. Papers are. And our final spiritual practice today is under God above. So both this one, which is prayer, and our first one, making room, they align more with our day one of EBS, of growing closer to God. Sometimes making room to listen to the Holy Spirit can be in our daily prayer time. But often prayer is more of an active time where we are talking with God, expressing our requests or our emotions or how we feel. And today we're going to look at different types of prayer that we may utilize in our prayer time. And there were a few different ones that I personally had not seen on different lessons and sermons regarding prayer. And the first one, which is my favorite, is marveling. Marveling. So in marveling, we can sense God's goodness and beauty all around us. In Psalm 104:1, it states, "Everything I am will praise and bless the Lord. O Lord my God, your greatness takes my breath away, overwhelming me by your majesty, beauty, and splendor." You know who is really great at marveling? Children. So often, they may be experiencing or seeing something for the first time, and their excitement and their joy and wonder is just pure marvel. And too often, as we get older and we've seen things over and over, we kind of lose that sense of marveling of what's around us. Something I've personally never lost my sense of marvel for are clouds, all the different kinds of clouds in the sky, and then sunrises and sunsets. To me, they're always an example of God's artwork displayed for us above us, if we just take a moment to glance up and look at them. So marveling in prayer reminds us to take a moment, to take a breath and look up, to be reminded of how grand this all is and really how small we are. At camp, I took the kids out between the bunk houses, and the campus had really tall trees. And I had them get in a large circle, and they had no idea what I was doing. And I just told them to look up, to not talk, and to just look at the trees, the countless leaves and branches, the different bark, and just take a moment to take in God's beauty and his grandeur. And then we moved on to the craziness as normal. So our next type of prayer, I know we hear a lot of, saying thanks is how it was worded for the youth, but also gratitude. Gratitude is a positive emotion. It involves us acknowledging and appreciating the good things in our life. In Colossians 3:17, Paul writes, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him." So many of us know there are scientific benefits to having a gratitude practice, to giving thanks. I'm just going to remind us of a couple today, or of something that actually happens in your brain. So when we express gratitude and we are thankful for the things in our life, there are two things that are released in our brain, dopamine and serotonin. They are two important neurotransmitters, and they regulate our mood and our emotions. And these chemicals can help us to feel happier and content and less stressed. So I always love when science reminds us the benefits of these spiritual practices. Our next example of a type of prayer is crying out. And this one is a hard one. This usually happens when there are difficult things happening in our life. But it's important for us to remember that God can handle all of our emotions. God gave us the variety of emotions to experience. And it's to our benefit and health to fully experience them and allow ourselves to, and to not stuff them away. When difficult things happen in life and we don't have an answer for it, God understands our need to question as we process what's happening to us. I know in the past, I have wanted to hurry through the tough emotions and focus on, okay, well, what's the lesson we can learn, or what can I take away from this? But in the last few years, I've really been allowing myself the time to fully feel the emotions that I'm going through, whether it's, you know, crying or questioning why something is happening. And those that are closest to me know, in December, my oldest brother suffered a massive stroke, and we got to see him yesterday. He is making progress. But there have been many times in this past 7 months where our families just asked why. So some things in life we may not have answers for, and we all know that. But God understands our struggle in trying to comprehend that. And he knows we can still have faith and question at the same time. It doesn't have to be either or. Our next, confessing. A lot of times we think of this in a private manner, but I really liked the way this lesson took it. So the examples of prayer all refer to the Psalms, because we see the gamut of the different types of prayer in the Psalms. But for this one, it references David in Psalm 32, and he's confessing for a wrongdoing that he did. We know there were many. But he confesses, and God surrounds him with glad cries and songs of deliverance. But the point that I like that the lesson makes, that we'll go into now, is God's forgiveness and care are made manifest through community. So sometimes, yes, our confession is in private between us and God in our prayer time. But more often than not, it's when we need to confess to each other, ask for forgiveness from each other. And in that, having those difficult conversations, we get to experience forgiveness and give it as well. But it's also important for us to remember that forgiveness isn't a license to keep behaving however we'd like, but it's a second chance to make things right. So our final type of prayer today, it's celebrating. I don't know about you, I had never seen that on a list of prayers as well. And I know we see in the Psalms David celebrating God's goodness and him celebrating all of his blessings. But to think about the actual action of celebrating is a form of prayer. This is one that you can verbalize in your prayer time, but it's also, if you're at an event of celebration, that is a form of prayer. Our last night of camp, we surprised them with a glow party. You saw some of the images. We had glow paint, glow sticks, games, food. We had music. It was a good old time. And that was a form of us celebrating all that we had, all the fun we had had the week at camp. So as we come to a close this today, and as the worship team comes forward, I'd like to invite you to implement a couple of these practices in your life this week. Maybe you can carve out 10 or 15 minutes to completely get away from everything. Maybe walk on a trail, go for a run. And maybe this time don't listen to the podcast or the audiobook. And just listen. See how the Holy Spirit might speak to you this week. Sometimes the takeaway may not be clear. Maybe Spirit will bring someone to mind, and you may reach out to them with a text or a call. Maybe it will just be a reminder that you are loved, or the things that are happening that week are going to be okay. And maybe one of these types of prayers caught your attention. Maybe you haven't taken a moment to marvel since you were a kid, or to be aware that celebrating is a form of prayer to God. Maybe you'll be at a wedding this week and know that that celebration is a form of prayer. And last, maybe you'll realize you can open your home as a place of hospitality for someone who may need a place of acceptance. Or maybe you'll just be more aware of the gifts that you've been given, of how you are serving your family or your coworkers, and that those gifts are given to you for a reason. In this worship song that we're going to close with, it's one of my favorite, the lyrics say, "Open my eyes in wonder, show me who you are, fill me with your heart, and lead me in your love to those around me." So it's very fitting for some of the spiritual practices we talked about today. And while we are singing and closing, if you're visiting today, you're welcome to join us in communion. We come out the right side, come out the front, and we go back on the left. And also, when we go to pray, if our youth that are helping with that will come forward. But I'd like to just pray with you before we have communion. God, as we come to the table today and reflect on the sacrifice of Jesus, we thank you for your example in Jesus of giving of ourselves in service to others. His example of welcoming all and being in constant communion with you. In Jesus' name, amen.